312 Dalb Avenue. Fine.
I don't get it.
The sponsor is here. Okay, so let's... What? Yes.
Rav Ushlema for Mordechai and Sarah Masha.
And Sarah Masha. Okay, beautiful. And for all the Shvuyim to come home, Be'ezus Hashem also.
Amen.
That's why I just heard Refiner say at the Gula Convention, Tav Shin Kei Hei is Tehei Shnas Pidyon HaShvuyim.
Wow.
But then he also said, Tav Shin Kei Hei is, he was making a joke at first, Donald Trump Hanossi. And then he said, but that's not obviously the message, because Tav Shin Kei Hei is also Gematria Melech HaMashiach Hanossi.
Whoa.
Okay. That's how he ended his a good keynote final speaker. Refiner, but Ethan Feiner. Okay, let's begin. So, if you recall from before the break, Sam, you're recording?
Yes, the whole thing is recorded.
Okay, and please thank everyone, Sam Davis, for putting all the shurim on the folder. Anyone who needs access. Anyone needs access to the Shiurim or to the Maamar Komos, Sam is doing a wonderful job putting it and uploading it. Baruch Hashem, at least by January, we got it up there. Baruch Hashem. Okay, so if you recall from previous, before the break, we were discussing different limitations to the principle of Bittul Merov. We had the limitation of Beria, Chaticha Rulis Gabed, and Davar Sheish Lo Matirim. Today we're going to do another limitation to Bittul Merov, but this is much more fundamental. This is probably one of the ABC limitations to the principle of Bittul Merov, and that is referred to as Nikar HaIsser, where the Isser is identifiable, where it's recognizable. If you have a Tarovah, it's Yavish B'Yavish, let's say, and Isser is mixed with Heter, and you can be Makir the Isser, we will not apply the principle of Bittul Merov. Where is the Makor for this Halacha? So the Gemara Chulin, Tzadi Tesla Beis, brings down on our Mishnah and Tzadi Vavim Beis, where the Mishnah says that if you have a Chaticham Nevela, let's say, mixed up with other Chatichos, the Mishnah paskins that they're all usher to eat, Kulon Asuros, so to buy Gira Nasha if they're mixed up with Gidin. The Gemara and Tzadi Tesla Beis asks, but why is it usher? Vili Batel Beruba. So Rashi, off in art, first time I ever said that out loud, off in art, on the spot says, that this kasha of the Gemara is Mairi when it's Eino Makiro. Because if the Nevela or the Gidanasha is Makiro, then Bittul Merov does not operate. It doesn't apply. And in fact, the Mishnah itself says, Bizman Shemakiro, Rashi spells that on the Mishnah, you have to remove the Isser. We will not allow you to consume the Tarovis if the Isser is Nikar. Bittul Merov does not operate. A second source for this din of Nikar is the Yushalmi Orlam Perik Beis Halacha Gimel, as explained by the Ritvaz Sham. The Ritvaz says in that Mishnah, Yushalmi, that we have a Te'ena Shel Truma that is mixed up in other Chulin, and we know Truma is Batal in Mea, and you have 100, and it should be Batal, but the Mishnah says that if it's Hukra Ha'iser, if the Truma Shel Te'ena becomes Hukr, then it is no longer Mutter to eat, it is not Batal Berov. Says the Taz in Yoredeh Kuv Dalet Sifkat and Aleph that it's Meduyak in Tosos that this din of Nikar is not just a din derabana like we had by the other limitations of Beria, Chaticha Veliskab, and Dovah Sheish Lo Matirim. But rather, Nikar is a din deoraisa. What's his diak in Tosos? So Tosos, if you recall, in Tzadi Hayamad Aleph, Dibre Masl Sveko, says the following Lashon. Tosos says, V'kaimelon, mi deoraisa chai betrei batal, we paskin mi deoraisa that Bittul Merov operates. Hainu, says Tosfos, heicha demeurav ve'eno nikar, when it is mixed and it's not recognizable, when it's not nikar. So says the Taz, look how Tosfos framed his lashon. Kaimalan that mi deoraisa Bittul Merov bamedvar murim, when it's mixed and not nikar. Mashma though, when it is nikar, it is not Bittul Merov, even mi deoraisa. That's Taz's diak in Tosfos, that the din of Nikar is different than all of the other limitations that we've had, the Dvar Machashuvim, which are only a Durabanan. Nikar HaIsser is a din deoraisa. Now, what is the Bir HaDvarim behind this limitation of Nikar? Why should it be that if something is Nikar, Bittul Merov doesn't operate? So this goes into the fundamental kishkas of a Geder of a Taharovis. This is a Pashup Shat beer. If you recall from Shir number 1, we started off with this Hagdama. If you recall, every Tarovis Yavish B'Yavish is not a function of its proximity to one another and how it's mixed physically. Like the Primi Gadam says in his Psicha to Simen Kuftes, you can have a Chaticha on different floors of a building. As long as it's unidentifiable as to which Chaticha is the Chaticha of Isser, you have a Tarovis. Because the definition of a Tarovis Yavish B'Yavish is a suffix to the Gavra. The Gavra, in his mind, doesn't know which one of these Chatichos is the Chaticha of Nevela. So it doesn't matter whether or not they're mixed in a pan or they're three different floors. If I'm about to eat a chaticha and I'm not sure if one of these three chatichos is the chaticha of Isser or not, that itself is a suffix to the gavra. That itself is a shem ta'aroves. So then if that's the case, then by definition, once you're makir the Isser, if it is nikar ha'isser, you've identified which one is the Isser, the pshat is that it's not called ta'aroves anymore. There is no suffix to the Gavra. This, in order for Bittul Barov to operate, to be Machria, and to Machria your suffix, to tell you that this is the one that is not the Isser, it has to be a suffix. But if you are Makir the Isser, if you have identification of the Isser, then there's no Tzad for Bittul Barov to operate. There's no Hachra, there's no suffix to begin with. The entire Taroves is built upon the assumption that you are Mesupak. If there's no suffix, there's no Shem Taroves. Bittul Barov doesn't operate. It's like saying, I have a nevela over here, one piece of nevela, no other chatichos, Bittul Barov should let me eat it. What do you mean? You're makir the Isser. There is no tarovis. It's not called mixed chlape the gavra anymore. That's the pashup shot fundamental limitation of nikar. That was the hagdam. Yes?
Is it impossible to have a lach balach where you have nikar because
it's used? Everything is meshed together. So Bittul Barov operates differently there. Yeah, correct. Here it's the mafkil Hashem Taroves because the Gavra has no suffix at all. Now the agenda of today's Chabura is to really define the Geder of Nikar. And we're going to do this in two steps, pretty short actually. And then we're going to enter into the controversial topic of New York City water. And we'll see how this Din of Nikar applies to New York City water. So let's start with just the Geder of Nikar. There are really two ofanim for how to define and be koveya the gather of nikar. The first ofen, the first format, everyone's going to agree to. The second ofen is where we're going to have our major machlokas rishonim. The first ofen is that there are three qualities of recognition, three types of recognition that the post can bring down that qualify as a din of nikar, that constitutes a nikar that prevents bittul barov. Three qualities of recognition that you can currently recognize in this tarubas. The Pri Chadash brings all of these down. The Pri Chadash is the Simik of Dalat Siv Gimel. The first quality of recognition he brings down is Re'iyah. If you have a Tarovis, and this is the example he gives, if you have a pot of soup that is Heter, a pot of soup, all liquid, and you throw in a Chaticha of Nevela, of course, the visible Re'iyah of the Chaticha, you know it's solid, you know that it's a solid piece of meat, there's no other solid piece of meat there, that's a Re'iyah, that's a visible recognition of the Isser, that is called Nikar 101. The fact that you know that there is Isser in the Tarovis is not sufficient because you don't know which one it is. But once you identify it through the sense of visibility, through Re'iyah, like the case of solids and liquid, it's one Chatich of Nevela. Of course, that's called Nikar. Second quality of recognition, says the Pri Chadash, is Mishmush, the sense of touch. If let's say you have a Achbar, he says, which is cut up into multiple pieces of mice, diced up, and it's in a soup, and you take a spoonful of that soup, but you're not sure which one is the barley, you're not sure which one is what, you don't know what is what, you don't see the achbar, it's all diced up into nice cubes, but when you put it into your mouth, and you are now mishmashmesh, you are touching it with your tongue, the sense of mishmush, says the Pri Chadash, is also a quality of recognition which will qualify as nikar and prevent bittul barov. So we have re'iyah, and then a chiddush, says the Pri Chadash, even mishmush. And third, finally, there's only five senses, the third sense, hearing is not shaykh, obviously, and tzarichin on smell. I haven't seen anyone speak about that. The third sense is ti'ima. The Rashi in Chulin Tzadichas and Beis brings the shame the Ravid, that if you have a chaticha of nevela that is mixed up into a pot of cholent, it's all cooking together, and there isn't shishim against the nevela, and you now taste the soup, and you taste, you actually taste the nevela from that chaticha nevela. So even though you have two chatichos against that nevela, but because you're tasting the effects of that chaticha, this is even a bigger chiddush. You're not even sensing or recognizing the actual chaticha. You're recognizing it through the sense of taste of that chaticha in the taroves. That will also prevent bittul barov on that solid piece of chaticha, and that will be called nikkur and not bittul barov. So three out of the five senses qualify as nikkur. We have ri'iya, we have mishmush, touching, and we have ti'ima, taste. The one that is not shayach is hearing, shmiya, and recha, reach, is, we'll put that on the side. I didn't see anyone speak about that. Yes?
What's the difference between taste and touch? You said, because when you explain
tasting is not, you're not touching anything with your tongue, you're just detecting it with your taste buds. Taste, touching with your tongue is actually here, feeling the texture, the substance of the.
Meaning you can tell that this is not.
Yeah. Oh, that's a strand of hair from the mouse. That's that's right, touching the actual. The texture. Yeah, but if that's not the. Yeah, you're right. Technically, you could. Yes, technically, if you were to touch it and you know which one it is, that would also be different, right? That's true. Right, you can do that. Kobe just made a good point that touching could also be with your hands. Is that? I was just giving an example. Yeah. You're putting your hands in the shoulder and you see that this is the crunchy part of the octopus. Yes, Paul. No. Once you have shishim, you don't have tima.
Okay, strong taste.
Oh, so then yeah, of course. I'm saying the...
Shishim is just a stand-in for you. We don't think you're going to...
Right, nechon, right. Excellent. Good. Okay, that was three qualities of recognition that everyone will agree to. Now comes the fundamental machlokas rishonim. Format number two. Where we have a taroves. Currently... None of the three senses will work to recognize the iser. But if I do a certain pu'ula, I do a certain operation to this ta'aroves, I'll be able to be makir the iser. So the first case that's brought up in the Rishonim is what you saw in Kuf Beis. The Rashba and the Ra'ah have a fundamental machlokas regarding the following case. Person has a kli that absorbed bliyas of iser, and it gets mixed up into other kalim. Let's say he has a fork that was used with nevela, and someone comes along, takes his fork, and says, oh, this goes to the fleishik drawer. He puts it into the fleishik drawer, and now, lo and behold, you come back, and that fleishik fork that you were putting on the side to be machshir is now mixed up with all of your fleishik kalim that are mutter. So says the Rashba, technically, maybe this would have been a davar sheish l'matirin because you can perform hagala to all of the forks, but says the Rashba, because it's hotzos, because there's a hefsid mamun, we relax the din derabbanan of davar sheish l'matirim, and therefore says the Rashba, and the Mechaber paskins like this, and Kuf Beis, Gimel, and the Ramah, they paskin, it's batel. This fork is batel. You can take any one of those forks, and it's batel. You're allowed to use it. Comes along the Ra'ah, the Bedek Abayis, and he argues on the Rashba. And he says, albeit true, I'll give it to you, that it's not a davar sheish l'matirim, but I have a second argument as to why it should not be batel. Says the Ra'ah, this is called Nikr Ha'isr. Why is it called Nikr Ha'isr? Because if I perform an operation, a pu'ula, of doing hagala to this kli, I'll be able to extract and purge the bliyas of Isr from that fork, and now I'll be makir the Isr. I'll remove it. Albeit true that currently I don't see where the Isr is. But if I do a pu'ula, I do an operation, that will be called Nikr, because I'll be able to recognize and remove the Isr from the ta'arubas. This is what the Ra'ah argues on the Rashba. Says Rav Shimon in Shar Yosha, Shar Gimel, Perik Yates, that this machlokes Rashba Ra'ah is tali on this shaila, this fundamental shaila of how to define the gedder of nikkur. When we say nikkur is not batal, does that mean that currently it has to be recognizable? It has to be currently identifiable to the person? Or even, says the Ra'ah, if I do a pu'ula, I do some kind of operation that is able to extract the iser, and then it becomes recognizable, that is also a gedder of nikkur. We can expand the definition of nikkur by even extracting the iser from the taroves. Yeah?
How is it recognizable if it's a pli within a wall? Even if you take it out...
No, but... Exactly. So let's just formulate what is being said. Exactly. You're hitting on it a little bit. That's exactly the point. Let's be mazir exactly what's being said. The Shaar Yosher explains, and this is really just touching up the words that he says, Yesh lachkor for how to understand the geder of nikr. Does nikr ha-isser, to prevent bitul barov, mean that I have to perceive the isser? I have to currently perceive the isser, which we said can happen in one of three ways, through the sense of touch, ri'iyah, or ti'imah. I have to perceive the isser. Or the second side, which is what the Ra'ah is arguing, is that nikr doesn't have to mean perception, perceiving the isser, but as long as the isser is distinguishable, as long as I can distinguish the isser from the ta'aruvas, that is the geder of nikr. So is the geder of nikr defined by currently perceptible? I can perceive and identify the isser, mineyu bay, where it is, through my three senses. Or, says the Ra'ah, no. We can expand the definition of nikr, not only to perceptible, because I can now distinguish it, but anytime I can distinguish the isser, even through a external pe'ula, like hagala in this case, that is called nikr. Nikr ha-isser means it has been distinguished. It's distinct from the ta'aruvas. Yes?
Practically,
another works to create distinguishment?
Yeah. It purges the whole thing, takes it out, expels the bleus.
And you'll know that. I thought the whole point is you don't know which one it is.
No, but if you do Hagal to all of them, you will have expelled the bleus from the Tyrovus. The Isser has been completely distinguished from the Tyrovus.
Isn't that just Dabrashish Matirim? That's not creative.
No. Even without Dabrashish Matirim, because of Hotzos, let's say, because it's Hefsid Mammon, so there's no Din Dabrashish Matirim. The etzim fact that I can do a Pu'ula to remove the Isser is called Nikr HaIsser. That's called the definition of Nikra Isser. Nikra Isser, up until I said the Ra'ah, was Pashup Shat. It's currently identifiable. I can perceive it in the one of the three ways that we mentioned. The fact that I can take something out of the Tarovis, why is that called Nikra? I can't recognize it. No. Says the Ra'ah Chiddush, that if I can distinguish the Isser from the Tarovis, Hare, just think about it for a second. When I perceive something, the function of perceiving it and making it Nikra is to now remove it. That's not the definition of Lefid Rashba. Lefid Rashba, I have to perceive it. I have to perceive the Isser, and it's no longer Batal. Says the Ra'ah, as long as I can do a Pu'ula to distinguish and to extract the Isser, that's called Nikra Isser. It doesn't have to be readily perceptible, as long as I can extract the Isser.
Really,
this is how Rav Shimon Shkop explains the Machlokas. What's that?
I just want to confirm that the Ra'ah is saying that Nikra means, just like we have by perceiving, that once you perceive, the Isser is sort of taken out of the Tarovus.
Mentally.
And there is no
you have to remove it, but I'm saying the fact that you perceived it currently isolates it from the Tarovus in the sense that you can now remove it.
Tarovus.
Right.
So too,
if I can now do a pu'ula, a physical action, that can distinguish
the
Isser
from the Tarovus,
that will no longer be called a Tarovus.
No.
If it can be unmixed, that's not called a Tarovus. Says the Ra. That's the Chiddush of the Ra'ah. Let's see how this plays out a little bit more. Kasha?
I'm just thinking.
No, it's good to think.
So we're like using Yesh Matirim.
No. Yesh Matirim.
No,
it's the same action. It's the same action. But it's not Dabrashish Matirim because of Hefsin Mammon. That's
out. We're not saying that we gauge it based on its future perception. In the future, it won't be.
No. Right. None of that. No. That's just. This Isser is Omelios Ether because I can do an action. This is saying, forget that. It's a Hotzos. It's not Dabrashish Matirim. But I can distinguish the Isser from the Heter. That makes the Tarovus not Hashem Tarovus anymore. Because it's extractable. Once it's extractable, it's not called Tarovus. It's not called mixed.
So practically speaking, if you can filter out the mouse, even though like you don't have five senses, then that's nicker.
Right.
Because I can't.
Right. Let's see how this plays out. This was the first machlokas. Second machlokas where this plays out is actually found in Sukkah. On Daf Teslamah Beis, we're going to condense the Shach of the Tire, not to make it too complicated. But Al Kapanim, the Gemara says over there in Sukkah Teslamah Beis, that if a person has a sukkah, oh, I forgot to show the board after all that. Right? We have the three senses, Riyah, Mishma, Shtima. Then we just did the first machlokas between the Rashba and the Ra'ah. Three Kalim, one of them has the Bliyah, you're not sure which one. Says Rashba, Batal. It's not Dabrashish Matir because of Tzos. And it's Batal. Says Ra'ah, that's called Nikr because since I can extract the Bliyahs by expelling them through Agala, that's the definition of nikr, distinguishability. Comes along the second case. The Gemara in Sukkah and Daf Teslamah Beis and says the following. If a person has a sukkah with schach kosher on it, but he has intermingled into the schach kosher, schach pasul. Intermingled. And now the way Rashi sets up the case is that it's not nikr la'ayin at all. the schach puzzle, you can't tell which one's the schach puzzle. I happen to have chosen red to make it easier for you. But it's all green. You don't know which one is the schach puzzle and which one is the schach kasher. So the Gemara says, b'shechavton, if you need to add more schach to make it kasher, just take schach puzzle and mix it around. And says Rashi, why? And the Ritva also says it's b'shem his Rebbe. Who's that? Who else? Oh, good. You'll see why that's important soon. So now says the Rashi and the Ritva, b'shem Rabbo, that if the schach puzzle is mixed in, it'll be batel berov. They get out of that. Put that on the side. They get out of that. The Mordechai, we did this. The Tzai test. The Mordechai gets out of that. This is heter, not iser. Heter and heter. It doesn't call it before Sukkos. Fine. Before Sukkos. Fine. So, sorry. Fine. So, says Rashi and Ritva, B'shem Rabbo, B'shechavta, when the Gemara says you should mix it in, it means literally take the schach puzzle, put it into the schach kasher, mix it around. We get out of Eim Evatin based on different answers in the Rishonim there. And you'll have rov schach kasher against the schach puzzle, and you'll have a kasher schach. And says Rashi, the reason why bitul berov is operative here is because it's eino nir la'ayin. It's not nikar la'ayin. I can't tell which one is a schach puzzle. The bird's eye view of this schach, or the inside view, I cannot tell which one is schach puzzle and which one is schach kasher. So bitul berov operates. Comes along the Ran on the spot of an art says, 2-in-1 shear, says the Ran, the following lashon. Says the Ran, Ein ze bitul ke bitul shari surin. This is not your classic bitul berov. And the Ran goes on to explain the Gemara differently. Why does he reject Rashi, says the Ran? She'ein lecha iser she'adam yochol lahasiro v'lamod alav. There's no such thing as an iser that will become bitul if a person can now remove it and be makir it and be omid alav and see it for himself. Says the Shimon Shkap, same piece. Says Rav Shimon, because the Ran is arguing, it's true that it's not nikar la'ayin, like Rashi says, because you can't see it from the top or from the bottom, but with a simple pe'ula, I can go to my tree trunk, I can climb up the tree, I can follow the branches, and I can pull out any branches of schach puzzle that are attached to the tree. So if I simply just do a pe'ula, an operation, I can simply distinguish the schach puzzle from the schach kosher. Zot Rav Shimon, this is the same machlokas Rishonim, Lishitasei. The Rashba from the previous machlokas who says that we define nikr by perceptibility, currently perceptible, Lishitasei, Rashi, not Lishitasei, the Ritva, B'shem Rabbo, the Rashba, will say that this is called not nikr, because as long as it's not nikr la'ayin, it's not nikr, it's batel berov. The Ran is operating with the Ra'ah. The Ran is expanding the definition of nikr, not just to currently perceptible, but as long as it's distinguishable. If I can do a pe'ula that can extract the minority, the iser shebo, meaning the schach puzzle in this case, by doing a simple activity of going up the tree and pulling out the schach mechuber, finding the connected roots to the ilan, then I can now extract the iser. This is not called the Shem Tarogas anymore, says the Ran, E-Efsher, that's called standard bitul v'shari surim. And the Ran goes on to give a technical way of how to read that Gemara over there. So says Rav Shimon Shkap, these two machlokasim go hand in hand. How do you define the gedder of nikr? Does it mean perceptible, currently perceptible based on the one of the three qualities of recognition? Or says the Ra'ah, and now also the Ran, we expand the definition of nikr to mean any time that you can distinguish it Ayidei a pe'ula.
Isn't that case when you're looking at the branches that are connected, isn't that just seeing it? Isn't that just like...
No, right now,
the first,
says Rashi
first
said...
thing of the pre-chadash that you're just
No. As of now, Rashi says it's not nikar line. The tree is all the way over here. You have branches coming out. Right now, you look at the schach, you look at the horizontal plane of the schach, you just see green.
Right.
You have to do a pe'ula of following and tracing each one back to the ilan, to the source. That's a pe'ula. That's not something that's visible right now. Yeah. When you eventually distinguish it, then yeah, it'll become visible. But right now it's not. It requires a pe'ula. It requires an operation.
Right, but it will become visible as opposed to the case before with the ra'ah. It's never going to become visible.
Well, it dissipates. You're getting rid of all the leaves.
It's not visible. Here it is visible.
Okay. But you don't need to come on to that. You don't need to have that extra edit level. You're saying over here it's more likely to be called nikr.
Yeah.
Over here, but you got rid of the isra the gamre. Says Rav Shimon Shkap, The underlying point is that it's distinguishable. You're saying, no, you need two tzayim. It's something that is distinguishable that will eventually become nicker. But says Rosh Hashanah, that's not the point. As long as it's distinguishable, the Ra'ah is already showing us that he's going further, right? He's going further. Even if you're not going to be makir, that was your point before, Lev. Even if you're not going to actually be makir the bliya afterwards. But the point is you were able to distinguish it from the Tarovis. That's called Nikar Ha'isr. And the final third place where we see this machlokes spell out is what you saw in Tzadi Ches. In Tzadi Ches, the Mordechai brings down the Rokeach, who says that if a person has a Tarovis in which Chelev gets mixed in, so the Rokeach says a person is mechuyov to do an experiment, add cold water, mayim sodanim, to this Tarovis, and the scientific experiment will cause the Chelev to flow to the top, and you can now remove the Chelev. And the Raman Tzadi Ches brings this down to Halacha. What exactly is the tam behind this Rokeach? Why is he requiring you to do this mayim sodanim to put it on into this Tarovis to remove the Chelev? So this is a Machlokes Achroni. The place, he says, the place he's found, I think, is on the spot, in Tzadi Ches Osvav, says the crazy place, because this is a davar sheyesh lamatirim. I have it biyadi to do an action to remove the chelev by simply putting cold water. It's called davar sheyesh lamatirim, and that's why it's not batal. Says the Darchei Moshe, which is the Ramah, that's not the pshat in the Rokeach. The reason why you have to do the science experiment is not me din davar sheyesh lamatirim, which is only a din derabanan, and b'makom hefsed maybe will be makel on you. Rather, says the Darchei Moshe, this is a din deraisa. This is stemming from the gedder of nikr, nikr ha'isr. It's nikr ha'isr because if I can do a pu'ula of my sonanim that can go into this tarovis to extract and to distinguish the chelev, that's called a nikr ha'isr. We can expand the definition of nikr to even distinguishable for the tarovis, and that's how the Darchei Moshe paskins. And so the Darchei Moshe would seemingly also be following the Shitas HaRa'ah from the first case and the Shitas HaRan from case of Sukkah. Oh, very good. All our Chodim asked that question. We don't have time for that. They have answers to that question. Very good. Excellent question. And the Machatzis HaShekel, by the way, explicitly says in Or HaChaim, Siman Tov Reish Chaf Vav, that this halacha of Darchei Moshe is mevusos on the Ran. So he mamash connects the dots. Rav Shimon connects these two together, Rav Shimon Shkop, and the Machatzis HaShekel connects this one to the Ran, the third one to the Ran. So it's mamash kaftor referach. Now we get to the controversial issue of New York City water. Any questions before we do that? This took a lot of time, research. Yeah, any questions? Pretty straightforward. A little better from before? Distinguished, okay. So, what exactly happened to New York City water? So, it all started in 2004. You won't believe how this started. You look at Rebelsky and Shulchan Alevi, this is how he starts off the tshuva. What exactly happened in 2004? So basically, there was an avrich, an extra vigilant avrich, who right before Leil Seder, this is around, I don't know, Leil Seder, before Pesach, he wanted to check his lettuce. Yirei Shemaim, of course, you have to check your lettuce before eating mar Leil Seder. But he was extra, extra vigilant. He already bought the lettuce from Ale Katif. And Ale Katif wrote on the package, Lelo Chashash Tolayim. He doesn't even have to check it. But still, he wanted to go above and beyond and check the Ale Katif lettuce for his Pesach Seder. Not only did he check his Ale Katif lettuce, he also wanted to strain the water that he was using to wash the lettuce to see if there are any bugs in the water also from the lettuce. So he was doing a full gamut inspection of his lettuce. This is this Avrich, whoever this Avrich is. And lo and behold, he strained the water that he used to clean out the lettuce, and he finds Tola'im in the water. So he immediately, obviously very livid, very upset, immediately calls Ale Katif and says, it's false advertising. False advertising. You said it's Noki Michashash Tola'im. I caught you red-handed. I found Tola'im in the water. So to Ale Katif's credit, they said, no problem. Please send us the sample. We want to inspect. We want to investigate. Send us the sample. And that's what he did. This Avrich went out of his way, UPS, FedEx, and sent it to Eretz Yisrael, his samples of water that he found. And they checked, they called him back, and they said, this is not coming from our lettuce. It's coming from your water supply. So the Avrich said, okay, let me check it out. And he checked it, he gave it to a lab, whatever he had to do. And Taka, he was Negala, the biggest catastrophe to New York City. Up until now, hundreds and thousands of Admorim and Rebbeim, Reb Moshe, Rabbanim, Chashuvim have been drinking New York City water with a little pickbook. All of a sudden, this mice, this Avrich, who was just thinking that his lettuce was compromised by Alek Hatif, basically revealed to the world that New York City water allegedly has bugs in it. Pestilence. Look at Shulchan Alevi, Rebelsky, this is the first piece of Shulchan Alevi. So what exactly did this lab find?
Is it to New York City or to the Jews?
To everyone. Yeah, it was not known.
Like
a much bigger issue came out from this, from lettuce. So what exactly did he find? So he found what we call copepods. Copepods are aquatic crustaceans. They have an exoskeleton. If you look it up on your phones right now, you'll see they're disgusting. They are translucent, they are pale gray, they have an antenna, they have a single eye, and they're called scientifically Dicyclops tamasi. Very scary. Now, what people don't know, and this is fascinating, is people think that the reason why New York City water has bugs is because New York City water is dirty. It's exact opposite. There are 7,300 water systems across the country. Out of the 7,300 water systems, most of them, probably 7,200x amount of water systems, are all come from sources of water which are naturally dirty. And the FDA, the Department of Environmental Protection, also under the Safe Drinking Act of 1952, requires, by definition, to filter the water by its source. So because all those water systems are mandated by the government to filter, they automatically take care of these copepods that are in the water. Masha'ein came by New York City, because the supply of water of New York City comes from the Catskill Mountains and the Delaware River. 50% from Delaware, 40% from Catskills. And that is a natural spring of water coming from that river, which is very, very pure water. It is so pure that the FDA, the government, does not require filtration. And Adaraba, they realized that this Dicyclops tamasi, the copepods, are actually very helpful for the water. They actually help. They kill a lot of bacteria. They're helpful. They don't want to remove it. But by definition, the reason why New York City water needs the filtration is because it's super clean. But for a guy, that's fine. But for a yid, these are actual bugs. What are these bugs? Wow. So the Vayikra Yud Aleph test through Gimel brings down Shratzei Hamayim. Shratzei Hamayim are chayv in four sets of malchus. And the Gemara B'Metzia, actually, Samech Aleph Amud Beis, says in Yonah D'Yoma that all of Yitzias Mitzrayim was worth it for Klai Yisrael to keep the Isser of bugs, not to eat bugs. Very chashuva Isser. Four sets of malchus. And so, whereas for a guy, he's happy that there are copepods, he doesn't see it, doesn't care. But for a yid, he will be ingesting a bug, a Shratzei Hamayim, with four sets of malchus. So that's how this whole thing started. So the question becomes, what exactly are the considerations to be matir New York City water, or to aser New York City water? And we'll show at the very end where we come in with Nikur Ha'isr. So I'm going to do it very condensed. There's so much to say, but just very condensed. There are three halachic considerations that one could play with to see whether or not New York City water should be mutter or aser. The first consideration is brought down by the Aruch HaShulchan Pidal Lamevav and the Ramosha Yoredeth Beis Kuf Mevav. And other posts can bring this down as well, that there is a basic klal that when it comes to Isurim, Isurim are defined by things that are visibly, I don't want to say nicker because that's not the point here, visible to the naked eye. If something can only be seen under a microscope, if something is so minuscule that it can only be seen under a microscope, then halacha does not reckon with that type of entity. Halacha does not reckon with that entity. Lo nista tor l'malachi asharis. If a human being can't see it with his naked eye, then it doesn't have a shem isra b'chlal. These aquatic crustaceans are actually 500 microns, which are extremely, extremely small, and they have a lack of immediate visibility. You will not be able to detect these copepods in a glass of water. So, well, some want it to be makel and say, well, this falls into that general category of microscopic creatures, which halacha doesn't reckon. But the post can already point out that this is not a fair equation. Because while it's true that it's very, very minuscule, if you are trained enough to identify what you're looking at, and you have a dark background behind your water, you'll be easily able to see white gray dots floating in the water. If you're visibly trained for how to do it, you'll be able to see it. But that led into the next point in the same consideration. While it's true that if you were trained, you'll be able to see white dots, you will never ever be able to positively identify the actual creature. You won't be able to see the skeleton of the creature. You're just going to be able to see a siman of the creature. You'll see a white dot, and you'll know that white dot must be the copepod. But you won't be able to physically identify with your eyes the actual creature. So the training only goes so far that you can see the dots, but you don't actually identify the creature. So that brought up another shaila. Do we say that something that is visible but can't be identifiable, does this still fall under the halacha of microscopic creatures that we don't take into account? So the kitzur is a machlokas aposkim, chazan ish nyordeh hey gimel relyashiv, all paskim to be machmir. As long as you can see the dots, as long as you can visibly see the creature, even though you can't identify it, that's still called visible. That's not under this halacha, this heter of microscopic creatures. So that consideration is out. Let's just go through it. I don't want to go through each point. Yeah, ask me afterwards. Yeah, the second consideration that was maybe brought up as a tzad kula is the halacha of shratzim themselves. Shratzim, we know, the Gemara, the Mechaber and Pei Dalet brings down that there are different places where shratzim can germinate, where they can be born. If a sheretz is born in the river or in Yamim v'Nachalos, that's an Issa d'Oraisa. But if a sheretz germinates in a boar, in a random boar, that's the first place where he was incepted, then that's not called sheretz amayim. It's mutter, not even Issa d'Rabbanan, if it's in a boar. So someone determined the following. New York City water gets its source of water from the Catskill and the Delaware system. Now, the way it works is you have rivers and creeks that are feeding these systems, and they all join together in reservoirs, different reservoirs for the Delaware and Catskill system, and they all join at one point in one massive reservoir called the Kensico Reservoir. Now, this Kensico Reservoir is the main place where all of the water of the rivers and creeks from the Delaware and the Catskills come together into this massive reservoir. It's like this huge lake, Kiviyachol. It's not really a lake. It's just all a collected body of water. And from there, we have aqueducts to the city that go to our mains, to our houses. Okay? So they wanted the taina that in this reservoir, why can't we view this as one large bore? It's true. It stems from rivers and creeks, this water. But at the end of the day, it's all in one bore, and they pointed out scientifically, they showed, that all of these copepods are only germinating in the Kensico Reservoir. They're not starting earlier in the rivers and the creeks. They're only germinating and becoming born in the Kensico Reservoir, in that bore. So let's define it as a bore, and it's a sheretz hamayim in a bore, which is not called a sheretz. It's mutter, even when they're abundant to consume. That was the second taina, to maybe be to matir it. However, Rav David Feinstein pointed out that we define the water's status based on the origination of the water. While it's true that right now it's in a bore, but since the water originated from rivers and creeks, number one, and number two, Rav David Feinstein said, there is an inlet and an outlet to the bore. It's not a stationary bore with no exit. It has an entrance and an exit from the rivers and the creeks. It goes back and forth. So that entrance, inlet, and outlet makes it connected to the rivers and creeks, and we cannot define this as a bore to be matir sheretz hamayim. Really, it's a sheretz hamayim because it originates, the water originates from rivers and creeks, and it has an inlet and an outlet. So that consideration is also gone. Let me finish, yeah? Fine. Unless it's a clarification.
Isn't that every bore?
No, every bore can come from rainwater.
Oh, fine. The copepods aren't born there.
Yeah.
The copepods would never be born before the reservoir.
Yeah, where?
You said that the copepods are only born in
the... In the actual reservoir.
In the reservoir.
Yeah.
So wouldn't that...
That's what they said.
The reservoir is...
Okay.
It doesn't have a dam reservoir.
Okay, so now, the third consideration is that in halacha in general, we only take into account isurim if it reaches a certain threshold or frequency. If it's above 51%, then it's a chiyuv d'oraisa to check. If it's less, but above a miyut hamatzui, it's called what we call a miyut hamatzui, then it's a din d'rabbanan. Anything less than a miyut hamatzui is mutter. So the frequency to check, to be mechuyav to check for bugs, depends on the frequency. So they check, the question is, what exactly is the frequency? So some say different shatim, some posts can say 50%, 51%, not 50%, above 14.5%, different shooters in the poskim. Rosh Hashanah Zalman and many poskim go with the Mishkan Yaakov, who says it's a 10% frequency. If you can find 10% of the time copepods, that's called miyat hamatzui, which you're mechuyev to check midirabanan, not midiraisa, because it's not above 50%, but it has a miyat hamatzui. The big question was, though, what is 10% of? 10% of pools, 10% of glasses. So Rav Schechter wanted to taina that it should go based on the normal average consumption of glasses of water during the day. A person averaged, let's say, 10 glasses of water, each one is 16 ounces. 16 times 10 is 160. If you find a copepod in 1 and 160 ounces, that is called the 10%, so to speak, of the Mishkanos Yaakov. And if it's less than that, you're not mechuyev. But taka, in many, many cities, in many, many boroughs of New York City, you do taka find copepods in 1 in 160 ounces of water. These are the three considerations. And for all, 1 second, let me just, what?
Why are you going by percent?
Oh, so these are the three considerations. And Lemaisa, to be fair, Rebelski Zatzal, and he paskins the Kula. He takes each one of these considerations and he argues on all three things that I just said. Number one, in terms of the microscopic, he says it's not visible, although it's not identifiable, but you can see it with the trained eye. That's not called visible. The only reason why it's visible is because when they're alive, they move around. But most of them are dead, and you can't see them to the naked eye. Says Rebelski, no problem. That is one consideration of the Kula. The second point of Boros, he doesn't go by the origination of the water. It's considered a bore. It's not Sheretz HaMayim. And number three, he says Natano's point. Who says that it should go based on 10 glasses of water? Maybe it should be on a smaller unit, a smaller functional unit. Who says the Mishkanos Yaakov's definition of Miyat HaMatzri would apply to that functional unit of 10 glasses of water? Maybe it should be in a smaller. You can't apply the Mishkanos Yaakov's percentage to this case. Rebelski paskins the Kula, and when he was alive, he would take a glass of water after giving the shir or after he was speaking to someone, take a glass of water and drink it right in front of them. Right in front of them. No problem whatsoever. However, most poskim do not go with Rebelski. Rav David Feinstein Zatzal, in an issue on September 15, 2004, and Eliashiv and Rav Chaim Pinchas Scheiberg all paskin the kol kore lahachmir on New York City water, and they require filtration. Now we come to us. Now that it's usser, based on these poskim, 1 second. We are in smicha, we know dine tarovas. These copepods are not coming to us by themselves, they're coming to us in water. So what do we have here? We have a lach and a yavish mixed together. So let's try to apply dinim of tarovas. So the classic din we want to apply is bittul berov. Let's apply bittul berov, bittul b'shishim, we're good to go. I get a cup of water, it's a bittul b'shishim. So there are two halachic impediments with that application. What's number one? Okay, everyone's going to say that one. Do the first one first, what we're doing right now. Nikar ha'isr. Rav Chaim Oberlander in his Kuntras in Or Yisrael, Chalek Lamavav, points out that this should be tali on the ra'ah and the rashba. Says Rav Chaim Oberlander, if you hold like the Ra'ah, that the geder of Nikr is min ha-Torah, anytime I can distinguish the Isser, so like Gilad said earlier, as long as I can filter and do a sinun to the copepods, that is the geder Nikr ha-Isser, and that's not Balta Barov, Midoraisa. However, Lefi the Rashba, who says that Nikr ha-Isser means it has to be visibly perceptible right now, these crustaceans, these copepods, are not visibly perceptible. They're just, you may see white dots, but you're not identifying the actual Isser Shabo. So says the Chaim Oberlander, the Fi the Rashba, it should come out to be mutter. Why is that significant? Because of what Yonah said. The Shulchan Aruch paskins like the Rashba. Put the Darchei Moshe on the side. The Shulchan Aruch paskins like the Rashba in Kuf Beis by the case of Haggalah. So, and the Mechaber paskins like the first Deya, like Rashi, in Sukkah, in Hilchos Sukkah, in Tav Reish. Chavches, I think. I'm not sure. I have to double check. Tav Reish Chavches, I believe. So he paskins like that. He brings both Deyas, but the first Deya he paskins like the Shita of Rashi, that it's not called Nikra Isser. Not called Nikra Isser. Oh, so now, really, okay, the Ra'ah will say it's Usser, but we have a mechaber on our hands saying that it's mutter. It's not nicker. It's batel barov. Now comes the second halachic impediment, which you guys mentioned, which is beria. Why is beria true? Because after the water leaves the Kinsiko reservoir, chlorine is applied to the water in order to disinfect all the different bacteria that are in the water. Now chlorine, while it kills, or whatever, I think it's chlorine, whatever chemical, it kills, while it kills the copepods, You know, Shlomo said the same thing to me last year also. It can't be chlorine.
I know.
I don't remember what it was. It's some other chemical. I don't know why I have chlorine in my notes. And I remember as I was saying it, Shlomo Lukens also was like, it's not chlorine. It can't be chlorine. Okay, whatever it is, there's a chemical that is applied to disinfect the water. Now, the chemical kills the copepods, but what it also does is it keeps it intact. It keeps it intact. So very often you'll have a beria. Now it is true that we saw in Kuf that as long as you have one aver that is removed, that's no longer called a beria. Most of the time you will lose an antenna here and there, and you will not have a full fledged beria. But very often you will have a beria that comes through the faucet. So in that case, you don't have the principle of Bitzabarov because it's a din derabanan of beria. However, and this will end. The Michas Ashen Chia Gimel Simtes Vav, it was Gimel, you may have heard this before, does say that upon experimentation, if you were boil water for 10 minutes, the copepods stay intact. However, if you do it for 30 minutes minimum, bediyavid, one can consume the water if it was in a soup, because all of those barriers will no longer be intact, definitively. And he says, even possibly, you can do it even lechatchila. Because number one, it's a kavana davar acher. And number two, he says, because you're just cooking soup, it's not kavana to mivato. And number two, he says, because they're so minuscule in size, even though they're intact, chiddush, says the Minchas Asher, it may not even be called a beria because it's so insignificant. It's 500 microns, whatever that is. 500 microns. It's not even called a beria, maybe. So he says, even the chatchila you can boil it, but it has to be a minimum of 30 minutes. So if you're ever found in a house in the five boroughs and they serve you soup and you're not so sure whether or not they filter their water, you can be rest assured that that soup was boiled for 30 minutes, you have the heter, and it's no longer a berry. Shkoyach. Wow. What was your question?
Is every person in microphone or no?
Of course I'm not. Yeah. 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 Yeah.